It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
All right, we're back. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Your pals, Statler, Animal, and Kermit. If you don't know what that means, you didn't see the first part of the show, but...
Yeah!
Okay, you know what? No, we're not doing that all night. I will demote your ass back to Miss Piggy like that, I swear to God. I will.
Speak for yourself.
I don't even know what that means. But we will not be having you all night. No, we're not doing that. All right.
Let's bad enough I sound like that.
who is the Joe sounds like Betty Davis eyes girl. What's her name?
Oh,
Kim Carnes?
Yes.
Yes.
Joe's got a sexy Kim Carnes going.
How did I know that?
Well, because you were alive then, as I was, and it's an iconic song. It's not crazy that you would know that. So, you know, good for you, Joe. All right, let's do some. I opted with School of Fools instead of Display of Spite, but you really could go either way with this because this really is an outstanding display of spite. All right, here we go. So a high school cheerleader had her college dream shattered when a black classmate arbitrarily, I take it this is from the New York Post. Yes, it's from the New York Post. I can tell by the writing style. Arbitrarily posted a years-old video of her saying the N-word, her lawyer said this week, as the University of Tennessee faced backlash for pushing the teen out. Incoming freshman Mimi Groves, now 19, was kicked off the school cheer team. Well, you can't cheer with the N-word. That would be inappropriate. And forced to withdraw earlier this year amid complaints from outraged alumni and students when fellow teen Jimmy Galligan posted the clip. The incident gained national attention when it was detailed in a New York Times story over the weekend. Groves' lawyer accused the university of making a rush to judgment for something his client did as a kid. Mimi was a kid when she did this, attorney Shan Wu told Fox News. She's appalled, and having said that, she's not trying to excuse her actions in any way. What she lost was her dream, the lawyer added. Like many athletes, she had worked most of her young adult life for a shot at going to a great school and being on their team. That was taken from her in what can only be described as a rush to judgment. Galligan of Leesburg, Virginia, was in class at Heritage High School in Loudoun County last year when a friend texted him the video of Groves spitting out the racial slur. I can drive, ends! Groves said in a clip while driving in traffic. She had sent the 3-second clip to a friend through Snapchat in 2016. Galligan, 18, whose mother is black and father is white, said he complained to school faculty, but they ignored the video of the then high school cheerleading captain. So he held on to the video until the perfect time. To the right time to publish it. I wanted to get her where she would understand the severity of that word, he told the Times. While going through his old magazines from 30 years ago. In June, Galligan posted the video on social media in the midst of protests across the nation after the death of George Floyd, a black man who was killed by police in Minnesota the month before. Around that same time, Groves, who is an incoming freshman at the University of Tennessee, posted on her Instagram urging her followers to protest, donate, and sign a petition, rally, do something in support of Black Lives Matter movement, the Times reported. You have the audacity to post this after saying the N-word, a person whom Groves didn't know wrote in response to her public post. Groves admitted that her actions were inexcusable. At the time, I didn't understand the severity of the word or the history and context behind it because I was so young and I just got my license. It honestly disgusts me that those words would come out of my mouth, she continued. How can you convince somebody that has never met you and the only thing you've ever seen of you is this 3-second clip? But her world came crashing down when her dream school pressured her to resign amid outrage from admissions officials, she told the Times. They're angry and they want to see some action, an admissions official told the Groves family, according to an audio recording reviewed by the Times. On Twitter at the time, the university didn't publicly name Groves, but acknowledged that an incoming student would no longer attend due to controversy over a racist video. On Wednesday, following a racist video and photos surfacing on social media, athletics made the decision not to allow a prospective student to join the Spirit program. She will not be attending the university this fall. Galligan said he had no regrets about sharing Groh's video publicly. If I never posted that video, nothing would have ever happened, and the world would have come crashing down! And because the internet never forgets, nor do I, because I have a lot of free time on my hands, the clip will always be available to watch. Always! Until the Russians take the internet away from us. I'm going to remind myself, you started something, Galligan added. You taught someone a lesson. All right, so this was there's a lot there. This was Joe's blog, Joe's topic of the week, which you can read at davincomedy.com. So we will let Joe kick it off with his take.
Yeah, basically what it is, and my blog kind of prefaced this, is two people being immature. Now, first of all, when what Groh said, I can drive, and was in a clip that was maybe 16 seconds long, she didn't say that out of malice. She said that because she's a young kid, follows rap music, it's part of the rap culture, and she just made a comment on that, okay? The school, not being interested in it, might have saw it that way. Now, the thing about Jimmy Galligan is if she wanted to talk to her or teach her a lesson, why didn't she just reach out to her and discuss it? This young woman is not a racist. He is for Black Lives Matter, wanted to make people aware. He surely would have been receptive to listening to what he said. He should have contacted her directly and went over what he said. See, I'm sure she would have been very receptive to that. But then he maliciously held this to try to bring her down. In my opinion, he is a racist because she's assuming, because she posted this, that she's a racist. It should have never gotten to this to this point, and he should have discussed it personally with her. I'm sure it would have been a very amicable decision, and she would have agreed with him.
Well, I agree with much of what you say. I'm not going to call him a racist. I don't know. I don't know either of these people. So I'm not going to, there's not really a body of work. I'm going to guess neither one of them is a racist, but what Joe puts his finger in is we have a failure to communicate. Like, if you went to school with this person, instead of, I mean, yeah, you can go to faculty, I guess, but if faculty's not going to do something, reach out, go, listen, this really bothered me, I feel it's inappropriate, have that conversation when it happens, don't fucking hold on to it like, you know, Star magazines from, you know, the 80s when Princess Di and Prince Charles got married, just waiting for the perfect time to review it.
Because, right, exactly, because it was not made to, in my opinion, it was a malicious attempt to bring her down.
Yeah, like, I don't know this girl. I don't know this girl. I didn't see the video clip, but judging from the way it's described, it doesn't seem like it was malicious. Listen, this is how people talk. Now, you wouldn't have the conversation like, hey, you can't use that word. She might be receptive to that. She might not be receptive to that. But you never had the conversation. You just decided that you're going to take it upon yourself to teach a lesson. And I got a problem with that. I also have a problem with the university and the admissions. I mean, really, really. Listen, how often through many years have I said one of the great things about college is not necessarily the academics, which is important too, but it's the experiences you get because you're with all these different people. If all these people are outraged, let's say there is this outrage on the community, you give her the option. You go, listen, we're facing outrage. We'd like to put you in contact with some people who can tell, who want to explain to you, Mimi, how you this video makes them feel. Are you receptive to hearing that? Now she's like, "Fuck you! I don't got time for that." All right, well then you can make a decision. Well, maybe she's not receptive. Maybe we got to get rid of her because she's going to be a problem. But give her the option to engage in the conversation so people can be made aware. Like Joe pointed out, she was. It seems like, you know, she's down. I mean, you know, she supports Black Lives Matter. Not that that means anything one way or the other. But I mean, we're going to end this girl's scholastic career on a three second clip, and because we don't have balls. Again, that's basically the University of Tennessee does not have balls. Go, listen, we get the backlash, but we're not.
They all have a knee jerk reaction.
I don't even think it happened. It doesn't seem like any of this happened quickly. It seemed like they thought of it. Like, I feel like the University of Tennessee, because think, in order for there to be a backlash, that has to be out there for a while. So it was out there. University thought, oh, this is too hot to handle. So listen, and what type of creep holds on to a video for three?
Right. It was still, you know, like the three takeaways I had from my blog and from this story is, number one, he wasn't racist. She was emulating what she sees in rap videos. Number two, the guy had a malicious attempt. Instead of reaching out to her and discussing the matter, he waited maliciously till she got to college. Number three, the college had a knee-jerk reaction to this without going over some of the things that you said prior to this, you know? So it's just a monstrosity.
So now here's the question. So does like Mimi Groves learn something from this, or is this potentially going to make somebody a racist? We've certainly covered stories on this show where somebody has a bad experience with a minority of some sort or other, and it paints them for the rest of their life on a path where they might not be on. We covered a teacher a couple months ago who claimed she wasn't racist, but sort of sounded sort of racist because she was attacked by some black people. So now maybe we have this Mimi Groves who wasn't racist, was sympathetic, and I'm not saying she is going to do this, but now maybe she's like, well, fuck black people. You know, you could do, because you didn't reach out to communicate, maybe you did just the opposite. Maybe instead of having a quote-unquote ally, as the libs like to use, maybe now you've made an enemy. It's just... And I feel like we have bad behavior by both, but I feel like what's his name, Galligan. I feel like Galligan is worse because he had time to think about it. Groves just did something spontaneous. I get why people are offended by that. I get why black people be like, no, you don't get to do that. Now, I'm not saying I would be offended by it if I was in their position, but I get why black people would be. But you have the conversation. You get to judge whether Groves gets it, is sincere. Plus, you're also saying that this person cannot grow in 2 or 3 years. This was done when she was like 15 or 16. Now she's 19.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, listen, if you want to tell me there's less chance of a 58-year-old person learning when they're 72, I'll give you that. Once you get set in your ways, like, not to bring Trump into it, but he's often used about, like, when Trump got elected, people were like, oh, he's going to change the presidency, he's going to change him. He was a 70-something-year-old man. At that age, you're not going to change. You are who you are. But when you're young, especially when you're in college and you're getting all these experiences and you leave the comfort of your clique in high school, you do change. That's the beauty of college. Because you were exposed. That's why I say it's so great. Especially if you go away, you're exposed to so many different things. Now you've completely taken that away. Forget about her dreams. You might have just created somebody who is never going to empathize with you again and is no longer going to be an ally. What did you accomplish? Do you really feel that much better?
You published that video with a malicious intent. But the simple reason that you held on for it for 3 years, you're not concerned about a teaching point because you would have brought it up after the fact or with her. You held it for a malicious attempt. You had 3 years to go over this, you know, and address this with her, you know, and the way the internet is now is you could pretty much address anything with anybody. A perfect example of this is Blue Oyster the Cult came out with a brand new album called The Symbol Remains. It's a really great album. There's a guy on there, Richie Castellano, who is the guitar player, keyboard player, and helped produce the album. His work on the album was magnificent. I wrote on his page, I said, Rich, you have cemented yourself in Blue Oyster Cult legacy with the music that you have done on this album. And he wrote me back and he said, thank you, that means a lot. You could reach out to anybody and bring up dialogue. And this guy did not do it. He held it maliciously for, what, 3 or 4 years?
People reach out to me all the time. or they'll either DM me, email me, or just respond. Like, we did the story about, like, the hockey player. I don't remember what it was, but it was about the kid who lost his college career. I think it was over racism and everything. And I had put a poll question up there, and somebody responded on the thing, like, well, this is why, whatever the position was, I don't remember what this person's position was, but they made clear to me what their position was, which you can do, which she faced on Instagram, and I just responded and go, I go, well, I'm just asking the question right now. I'm not telling you what our position is. I'm trying to gauge your opinion on it. But you can certainly reach out to people. So, yeah, I think, listen, like I said, I think I can understand why people were offended by it. I get it. My gut is she didn't do it maliciously. But even if she did, there's ways you could have done this. And like I said, if she wasn't receptive, if she was indignant or ignorant or abusive when confronted with this, then you know what? You want to get her kicked out of school, so be it. But you didn't even give this girl a chance. You didn't even talk to her. You just decided off a 3-second clip. So I think you're the bigger asshole.
You know, and
yeah,
absolutely. You know my view about the blogs. I'm not going to bring it up. However, you know, usually when I go to look at the stories, I'll usually do it on a Sunday night. And I sat down with this at 9:30. All right, let me take a look at this. And I went through the story, and this one came up. And I'm like, give me the pencil right now. You know, I mean, you know, it was a very interesting story because it was wrong done on both ends, and it wasn't handled properly by the school, by Jimmy Galligan, over a silly thing that this Mimi Groves put on there, and she did not deserve be kicked out of college over it without even having literally her day in court over it.
I'm going to put a silver lining on this, and then we'll move on to the next story. She's a pretty girl. They interviewed her on Fox. I could see her being a host on one of their shows. We'll see Mimi Groves on Fox News before. She looks like a Fox News host. She's pretty. She's blonde. She's young. She's got a future. She'll be okay. I feel good. I feel good for Mimi Groves. But yeah, she got done dirty. I mean, Pip, unless you're going to disagree on anything, I'm going to move along.
No. Okay. No, you guys said it all.
All right. So this was one of our poll questions. It's another interesting. I thought we had a bunch of interesting stories this week, Joseph. A UK activist who calls herself the Black Panther of Oxford. Again, can we stop with the self-proclaimed nicknames? Enough. Wants to create a race offenders registry that would bar alleged racists from getting work or living near communities of color. I don't know what that color is, but color indeed. Sasha Johnson, 26, divulged the agenda for the Taking the Initiative Party, or TDP, a political group in the UK that inspired by Black Lives Matter. The registry of racists is similar to the sex offenders registry, Johnson told the Daily Mail. If you were to be racially abusive to someone, the register would question whether someone is fit enough to hold a particular job where their bias could influence another person's life, said Johnson, who serves as an executive committee member of TTIP, TTIP in the hizzy, and oversees activism. A lot of racism happens at work and places of education in a microaggressive way. I hate when they fucking do the microaggressive. If you exhibit an I just hate that term.
I know.
What is it, like a midget
like
getting yappy? I don't need that.
A midget.
What?
Microaggressive.
What?
It's like getting kicked in the shin by a midget.
See, there's the problem with technology. Both Joe and I went to the fucking midget joke, and we stepped all over each other. That's the problem with this technology. So neither Joe or I are very creative, but we did it nonetheless.
It was a foot race.
It was. If you exhibit an element of bias at work, you should probably receive a warning first, before later being added to the register, so people know in the future that you hold these views. The National Registry would also bar alleged offenders from living near ethnic minority groups and include anyone accused or charged with a race crime. If you live in a majority-colored neighborhood, you shouldn't reside there because you're a risk to those people. Just like a sex offender lived next to his school. Well, I'd just call that a good neighborhood. He would be at risk to those children, only if he goes outside and wants to play. She said BLM first hatched the idea of the red... What's the matter, Pip? Well, maybe they're bossy bottoms. I don't know.
I'm just listening to your side comments, and I'm like, oh, God, you come off as such a dirty bastard.
Well, I try to be honest with the audience.
Yeah, of course he does. She's a creep.
All right, you're not helping. Look at you in that fucking hat. Settle down there, Kim Carnes. She said BLM first hatched the idea of the registry and presented to the TTIP at conference. TTIP was formed over the summer as protests against racial inequality swept the globe following the police killing of George Floyd in Minnesota late May. So here was my question. I broadened it out, made it very broad, and we got a lot of response for this. Would you like such a list in America? So 30% said yes, 70% said no. Overwhelming no. Here's my issue with the list. I kind of like aspects of this list. I kind of like the idea of it. But you got to give me more than accused or charged. You can't be putting you can't be giving people a scarlet racist letter because they were accused or charged. If you give me convicted of a race crime, okay, I could see that on a list. Now, I don't see how you could ban people from living in, quote, people of color regions. You can't really do that. You don't really do that with sex offenders either. But you can't. But if they are on that list, you can, you know, you can see, all right, stay away from Zach Johnson. He's, you know, he got charged with a race crime. Steer clear of that shit. So I do like the idea of a list if you're convicted. I like the idea of the list if you're convicted. I don't like the idea of blocking people from where they live. I do think it's very useful when hiring people, especially in positions of power. But it's not a microaggression. It's just fucking aggression. Racism is fucking aggression. If you're a racist, it's a fucking aggressive act. Whether you know you're being a racist douche or not, it's not a microaggression. And it affects generations. You hold one person down, it's going to affect their kids and their kids. So if somebody's been convicted of a race crime, yeah, I don't want that person being a manager. I don't want that person having any power at all. Now, I might hire them to be a cashier because everybody deserves an opportunity to work, and I'll monitor them and make sure they're not racist in the place of business. But they're going to have to work their way up to get managed. If you're convicted of a racist crime, you're not walking in to a position of power in my job. But I should be able to get to make that decision. So I like aspects of the idea. I just think it's too broad the way it's laid out there. Because anybody can accuse anybody of that. Anybody could charge anybody of anything. Well, not anybody. But it's certainly a lot easier to charge somebody than to convict somebody. Now, we saw people lose their jobs after the Charlottesville march, when those neo-Nazis were marching on Charlottesville, and the videotape came out, and all of a sudden they're crying, but I lost my job. Yeah, because you're a neo-Nazi, you fucking scumbag. Nobody wants a neo-Nazi at the car dealership. It just doesn't work well. It's not good for the brand. So yeah, that shit. So in a way, that's already out there, but so many racist things happen that are away from the camera. So I'm not usually in favor of lists, but I kind of like the idea of this. You just got to narrow it. Now you guys can talk.
I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. I mean, you know, in England, you know, there's different set of laws and rules. I don't like it at all for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. And I think it's nothing more than a witch hunt. And if you are a racist and convicted, I mean, if you're convicted of a crime, you have a chance to get rehabilitated. And you get convicted of this, and now you can't get a job. I think it's wrong. I think it's a witch hunt, and they should knock this right down.
I actually agree with Joe on this. I don't think that there is a reason for someone. See, the reason that that sex offenders, and that is real. The sex offender list is also extremely problematic because you should not have people that whipped it out to take a pee against a tree on the same list as rapists.
What you're talking about is more my thing. It's like, it's not the idea of a list. It's like you just have to narrow it, because I definitely want to know if there's a pedophile in my, like, where I live in our complex. There is a sex offender in the area, and everybody knows that. So you tell your kids, don't go trick or treating there. Like don't play in that area. So it is it is worthwhile. But again, it's got to be for the most severe things. Listen, if you burn a cross, for instance, or you beat up somebody and it's determined it was a race crime, you know what? If I'm a person of color, I want to tell my kids to stay away from that fucking house. Sure, you can be rehabilitated, but I don't need you to take a chance with my kids or with me.
But if you're getting hired for a job, they do a background check if you were a racist.
But they don't do it. But
it's going to come on a background check.
But you know what? But we found there's holes in these background checks. We talked about it last week, where police officers are fired from one place because they did something wrong, and they go to the next town over. So, I mean, this would be part of the background check. Being on that list will be part of the background check. I'm not saying put it up in Times Square.
It's just getting like everything else with statues and renaming of it. It's turning into a runaway train. And this is nothing more than it's going to turn into a runaway train.
But I would say that, but listen, if I burn this cross, or if I'm associated with this neo-Nazi group, people could find out and it could cost me employment. Maybe I don't do it. Now, it's not going to be everybody, but you
see, that could happen now.
But no, but it didn't. But Joe, it didn't dawn on them. And like I said, we saw that in Charlottesville. You had these motherfuckers marching. Well, Jews will not replace us. Blood and soil, intimidating people, killing somebody, and then they were shocked that people would go, "Yeah, I don't want you to work here." And the only reason these companies knew about it is because we had videotape. As an employer, I don't want racists working for me, so I'd rather know ahead of time.
Nowadays, you can't peep behind the bush without it being on fucking Instagram.
That's not true.
Really?
So much of this shit happens on the dark net. So much. Listen, I'm still amazed at how racist and ignorant people are out in the open. But there's still a lot more people that are not out in the open. I think it's protecting businesses. Again, don't, you know, Joe, you know, it's interesting here. When we're talking about people dealing with the police, and you always fall back to, well, don't do something wrong. That's very often your fallback position. Well, don't do something wrong. Well, right here, I could say the same fallback position. Don't do something wrong. I mean,
and on stage, you could improv something. Somebody's videotaping it, and you're not working clubs anymore.
No. But hold on. What did I say? I said my list, not this list. I said this version is problematic. I said on my list, convicted of a race crime. I didn't say accused. I didn't say charged. I said convicted.
We just did a story. Of a young lady that got kicked out of college over something that she said 3 years ago in 16 seconds. Something like this is going to snow.
No, but hold on. My version of the list, she would not be on that list. She would not be, because she got accused of being racist. This woman's list is problematic because it's too broad. My list is very specific. You have been convicted, and it is a federal crime. These are federal crimes. You have been convicted of a race crime. That I want the list for. Like I said, I can't explain it anymore. I don't want accused. I don't want charged. I want convicted.
You understand you're creating a police state with this.
We already have a police state. I'm protecting.
There, mark my words. By the end of this new administration, it's going to be that way.
No,
it's
not.
This is starting a police state.
It's not a police. No. It's not a police state. It's not. This goes to what your old fallback position. Don't do something wrong. So many times we do stories where a black person is resisting, and you're like, well, don't do something wrong, and you won't have these run-ins with the police. And so many times we go back and forth with it. So I'm saying here, don't do racist shit. Don't get convicted of burning a cross or terrorizing people based on their race or their religion or their color. That's all I'm saying. I think it's pretty good. Now I'm in the minority.
I disagree. Yeah. This is a runaway train.
Yeah, I didn't get to finish what I was saying before. Is the reason that I think that the sex offender list.
Be quiet. No, sorry. kidding.
The sex offender list is more important in my view because statistics have shown that sex offenders can't be rehabilitated. I think that if you have someone who has made a mistake, like, you know, for example, the girl who said, you know, something problematic, you know, on a 3-second video, or all kinds of people. I mean, the way they have the suggestion of this list is including microaggressions. Oh, please. A lot of things can be considered microaggressions, and that, a lot of times they're misunderstandings. And I don't think that having, you know, clamping down on everybody's every word and every thought is in any way helpful or any way indicative of what this country's based on. If someone is convicted of a hate crime, a felony hate crime, yeah, it might be valuable to have, you know, a website where people could go and see that so that they understand, this is what this person's about. But they also have the opportunity to learn and rehabilitate.
Sure.
I don't know what the statistics are on that happening, but But all this other stuff, look, if they are keeping their mouth shut and keeping their head down where they're at work, I don't want to work with racists either. But if they're keeping their mouth shut at work, I think that they have the opportunity to go to work and do their business, and what they think and what they believe is their business. I don't want the thought police following me to work either.
But that's what I. But you're kind of saying what I said. If they're convicted, and I didn't say these people shouldn't work. I didn't say that.
Right.
I said you're going to earn your position of dictating other people's livelihoods. You're not coming into my job as a manager. Now, that doesn't mean you won't become management over time, and I see that how you get along and how you treat everybody over time. Then I can go, all right, this person has learned from it, and then I can promote you as a manager. But if I look at this list and you want to be a manager right off the bat, no. No, I cannot have you in charge of people. I don't know you. So I need to get to know you. So I think you and I actually agree more than you think, Pip.
Yeah, I don't want, you know, racist managers who are going to be dictating other people's livelihoods, because you know, I have worked at places where there are people who are in position of power who I knew had racist ideas, and it does affect the other people that work there.
Yeah.
It would be another tool to give an opportunity to the employer to decide whether they want those people there or not. However, I think that there is a high standard for somebody being convicted of a felony hate crime.
Yes.
So that would eliminate a lot of what this woman's ideas
yes.
are for the list.
So yeah, none of the three of us like this idea. This woman's
right.
idea of the list. We all think it's too
overreaching.
Yeah, it's too broad. That's why something like that would never pass muster anywhere. But it, you know, it is, as Pip said, it's a pretty high hurdle to be convicted of a race crime. So if that is the hurdle, again, not accused, not saying I'm driving my ends on a 3-second clip, but accused of convicted of an actual felony race crime. I want to know that. And again, that doesn't mean you can't be rehabilitated, but it does make me want to keep you at arm's length right away. I'd rather
But if you go to, if you look into the guy's history, you see that conviction on there.
Yeah, but a lot of places don't do that. There's so many places that don't do background checks. I mean,
they're bad on them.
But you gotta listen. You could be on the list and they're not going to check it either. That's fine too. It's not like every time their name shows up in a database it goes racist, racist, racist. But I mean, for the places that are doing their due diligence, as you said, it's another tool. As somebody, you know, as a business owner, I want all the tools at my disposal as possible. It's up to me how I'm going to use them, but I want to. You know what? And let's make this a big fucking deal. Because like a sex crime, it's not really a one-time thing. You are affecting other people's lives for the duration of their life. A sex crime sticks with that the victim for their whole life.
Well, a sex crime is different. I mean, you molest a child, you know, or mess with you essentially destroyed that person.
Right, but I think you could certainly argue that if you're convicted of a race crime, a federal race crime,
I think that a sex crime is far overreaching than a race crime, depending on the incident. But I think it's far overreaching.
I've spoken with enough minorities.
Than a runaway train. This is a police state.
It's not really a police state.
We're watching year after year after year. We're watching our freedoms being taken away, our right to free speech being taken away.
No, we're not.
This is. I mean, obviously, it's not here, but you know, it's getting worse every year.
No, that ebbs and flows. I'm not talking about squishy feeling stuff. This woman was talking about squishy feeling stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you were convicted of a hate crime, a federal hate crime. I'm not, so it's different. I've set a much higher level. Yeah, this woman's a little too much. I understand where her head's at, but it's a little too much. Once you start whipping microaggressions in there and, you know, well, you said something racist to me. All right, that's too much. I don't want to ruin somebody's life because you said whatever the fuck you said and it was taken that way. You shouldn't have said it, but I don't need to necessarily ruin your life. But now, if you're burning crosses, If you're committing assault and it's found to be a hate crime, if you're killing somebody and it's found to be on top of it being murder, a hate crime, I want to know. I want to know what I'm dealing with. So that's what it is. So I think I've set a high bar. And I think if you manage to get to that high bar of being such an asshole where you're convicted of a federal hate crime, yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
I get a funny feeling on the way to getting to that high bar, a lot of lives are going to be destroyed.
No, I don't know. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, it takes a lot to convict somebody of a hate crime. It's not really easy to prove, because it's on top of what they did. You have to find the motivation. So I didn't just murder you. I murdered you because you're Asian. That's why. It's not easy to prove something like that.
But usually, if that gets to that point, you go to jail. You come out, you know, or that, and you're labeled a felon anyway, no matter if it's a hate crime or whatever. So,
right, but Joe, but here's the thing. We're doing an interview. Why'd you go to jail? Assault. All right, red flag. You're a sweet talker. I need you. But now I do the background check. Assault, and it also says hate crime. Wait a second. Now this person who I was going to go, all right, it was assault. Could have been a bar fight. They got in a bar fight. But if now they're also convicted in that same bar fight, the person started it because if it's a hate crime, now I don't want to give this person a second chance. Hey, I know it sucks for the person who committed the hate crime, but as you like to say, Joe, don't do something wrong. All right.
You make that choice, and you wind up getting that record, you know, and usually if you're a convicted felon, you know, it's not because you took some lollipops out of the stationery store.
Yeah, but there's all sorts of convicted.
Right then and there, that's the thing, without having this tribunal dictating what's going on.
We're not talking about her version. We all agree her version is shit. Nobody wants the thought police.
I think any version is a problem.
No, I think it's fine to have a stigma for particularly heinous crimes. I think that's fine. I mean, because if you think about what's a sex crime, usually it's a crime of power. That's what a hate crime is. It's a crime of power. I cannot have you in a position of power when you've already shown that when given any sort of power, whether it just be based on race or sex or whatever, you abuse it. I can't have it. And I would not, unless I go find out exactly what you were convicted of, which most people aren't going to do. It's hard to find out why. Assault. Joe and I got in a bar fight. We're both convicted of assault. We're both going to jail. All right. They got drunk. They were fighting over a chick.
That almost happened. It's funny. Where the fuck were we in? Alabama. We're in Alabama.
Yes. Right. Right. But you know what? I can look past. He got in a drunken bar fight. It was a bad fucking night. He went to jail for assault. I can look past that. That's not really, but I can't look past, I started a fight with this person because they're gay, because they're Jewish, because they're black. I can't look past that. That's why I think this is valuable. All right, we'll move on. All right, another list. I told you it was a night of lists, and I shall not lie to you. Spain is setting up a registry of people who refuse to have a COVID-19 vaccine and will share it with its European neighbors. Now, remember, this is all part of the EU, so they have open borders with each other, where you can just go from any place to any place except for England, which now Brexit has passed, but that's different. Health Minister Salvador Illa made the announcement Monday, even as he insisted vaccination, which was rolled out over the weekend, is not mandatory, Agence France-Presse said. What will be done is a registry which will be shared with our European partners. Of those people who have been offered it and have simply rejected it, Ilya told La Sexta Television, according to the agency. It is not a document which will be made public, and it will be done with the utmost respect for data protection, he insisted. The main aim was to help track those who are vaccinated against COVID-19 cases, as well as work out why people are not getting the shot. A source told The Guardian. The initiative could also help Spain regain trust in its tourism sector, which was linked earlier to spreading of the coronavirus. Spain is one of Europe's worst hit countries by the pandemic, with by Tuesday almost 1.9 million confirmed cases and more than 50,000 deaths, according to Johns Hopkins. So this was another one of our polls. So I just I explained what the registry was, and I said, would you like the United States to participate in a list like this? And again, this was a lot of people participated in this. 31.6% said yes. 68.4% said no. Now, this is very interesting because now you're kind of going into, like, HIPAA laws and everything. What can be revealed and not revealed? But putting HIPAA laws aside for a second, which I don't think you could do.
Hold on. Hippos have rights, okay? Yes. And I don't want you to take rights away. They're the only animal that can deal with crocodiles and hang out with them. So, you know, they got to be protected. That's my 2 cents. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, hippos do not take kindly to microaggressions. I will tell you that much. But anyway.
Well, I'll tell you another thing. Crippos. Oh,
really?
My God.
Really?
Hippos are Christmas as fuck. I just wanted to put that out there.
What? Yeah.
it's an internet thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so putting the HIPAA laws aside, which is why we could probably never have something like that in this country. Although, if you think about it, we talked about Ticketmaster doing something like that. So I get
yes, and we ruled against.
We ruled against it, but now I'm thinking
about someone's not good.
But you know what? If you think about how much if you think about how this virus spreads, and what's happened to our travel industry? I mean, entertainment and travel have collapsed during this pandemic. Those are the biggest hit ones, and then the restaurants after that. But entertainment and travel. So if you think about it from an economic standpoint, go, all right, we're going to open everything up, but you got to prove that you've been vaccinated. You know what? That could really help spur the economy. I know I'm in the minority again, and it raises all sorts of issues. But if you think about the good in this scenario, in my mind, outweighs the bad. And again, you don't have to travel. You're choosing to travel. You have decided you want to come to this country, and this is one of the things to come. I can't think of them. Not qualifications, but well, for that one of the guidelines. To come into the country. You want to come here, you need to prove that you've been vaccinated. You know, I kind of don't have an issue with it. It seems like there'd be a lot more good. Think about what would happen with the cruise line industry. Because the cruise line industry is done right now. There's no cruises going out. You can't right now. Because you know, even before COVID, everybody got sick on cruises. But think about how you could restart the cruise line industry if nobody gets on that ship unless they can prove that they've been vaccinated. You could actually start the cruise lines pretty soon. You could start them at the end of the month if you do that. They'd be much smaller cruises because not everybody's been vaccinated. But you could really kickstart economies. You could really help people's lives. And the people who want to go on these cruises, they can start living again. You know, you can actually go and start doing things again, and you can be confident because, again, remember, we know with this vaccine that you won't get sick. There's a 95% chance you won't get sick. We don't know if you can carry it and get other people sick. So if you're on this cruise where everybody's had this vaccine, everybody should be okay. I mean, I think I know Joe's going to say police state, and I get it. And I don't usually like lists like this and all, especially since our country's been hacked the fuck by Russia. But I kind of think you could do a lot of good with this. You could really help a lot of people financially, emotionally. I think you could do a lot of good with this, so I'm kind of in favor of it.
Well, let the people that want to have the vaccination take the vaccination. The people that don't feel that they want that vaccination shouldn't have to be put on a list. And it's another thing where if you start doing this, then it snowballs into something else, and then snowballs into something else.
So let's do it this way. Let's take that argument. Let's do it this way. Instead of creating a list of the people who didn't take the vaccine, we create a list of the people who did take the vaccine. Let's do it like that way. So then you come up on the list. I want to take a cruise on Norwegian Cruise Lines. Pull you up. Okay. We see you took the vaccine, which is kind of like what Ticketmaster wants to do. You could come on in. So let's do it that way. Problem solved.
You know what? I actually wouldn't have a problem with that because if you made your choice to have the vaccine and you're on the list, if I don't choose to have the vaccine, that's the way I feel. Well, you're not on the list. All right. But that's my. It's kind of weird, you know, when you twist it like that, where it makes more sense because basically I'm not being penalized in a sense
They would argue, Joe, they would argue they are being penalized because now they can't go on Norwegian cruise lines or any cruise line because they're not on, because they didn't get the vaccine. But again, you made the choice.
Too bad.
Every choice has ramifications. Whether you get the vaccine or don't get the vaccine, we're all adults here. We have ramifications. Like I said, we've talked about this before. The country can't force you to take the vaccine. But it's very possible your job could.
Thank you. Stop right there. That's kind of where, when we twist it, it kind of makes sense. Because if you make the decision you don't want the vaccine, and the cruise lines say that you have to have a vaccine, their ship, their rules. My rights as a citizen not to take the vaccine. The government is not telling me I have to take the vaccine. They're just saying that there's going to be a list of the people that have taken the vaccine. If the cruise line says that I can't come on the ship because I haven't taken the vaccine, that's the cruise line's decision as an independent entity, not a government entity. See, when you switch it around like that, it's more palatable, where you're making a decision of your own as a citizen to make your own decision not to take something that you're skeptical of. If a private firm, as such as a cruise line, is saying, well, we want people that have the vaccination on the ship and you don't have it, that is a private entity making a decision, and my right as a citizen making my own. So I don't have a problem with
that. Well, here's the thing. They would argue that they're being discriminated against. That I don't think that's the case. But
Too fucking bad. This is a major health issue.
I think what we're talking about is theoretical, because I think it would be a violation for the government to have a list like this because of HIPAA laws in this country. Like mm-hmm. I said, you put that aside, though. And you do it the way we just kind of configure to go, okay, it's not the people who didn't take the vaccine that are on the list. It's the people who are taking the vaccine. Now, again, you're going to have people here's something else you could do with it. Go, you can get the vaccine, but opt out of being on the list, which I could see a lot of people doing. That makes sense too. Go, all right, listen, I want the vaccine, but I don't want you to be on a government list. I could see myself doing something like that too.
If I made the decision to get the vaccine and they go, well, you're on the list, I don't give a shit, you know, whatever, that's fine. But like I said, twisting it this way, you're making your decision as a citizen with rights, and this private entity that's running their own business is making a decision on how they want their business. So I don't have a problem with that. They have their choice, I have my choice. The government has not made the choice on either side, and that's the key thing.
Well, I think that it would be something else if we were talking about, say, the government saying, okay, if you're on this list, you can't go to a supermarket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, you can't...
Hey, Pip, even you froze, so we're reading your mind.
yes, I'm speaking to you from beyond.
Look at her,
I know,
look.
I froze. I'm trying to get back in.
She, look at her. Now she's got that, like, non-plus look. Like, ugh, these two again.
I could go either way on this.
All right, Pip. While you work out your paralysis, continue with your point.
Okay. What I was saying is that, you know, if they were, if the issue was, okay, you're not allowed to leave your house, you know, when everyone else can, because you didn't get the vaccine, then, you know, I think that that is infringing on your rights. I mean, I think that during, this is, when you have a pandemic, it's like there are different rules during a pandemic. You're a danger to other people. But if it was that, you know, you can't leave your house because you haven't had this vaccine, I think that that's too much. But if this private company, that where you are going to be on a floating city with these people and locked into a specific space, if they want to say, oh, no vaccine, you know, no ticky, no surety, they are completely within their rights, and they have an obligation to protect the health of the other people on the ship.
So let's broaden this out.
I think that, yeah, like Joe was saying, when you swap it around, instead of having a list of, you know, you people won't take a vaccine, you're going to be, isolated and, picked on in a way, and who knows where that list is going to go and what it's going to be used for. I think that's a bit much. But if you have, like, you know, you can drive if you get a license. You can come on this boat if you have a card saying that you got the vaccine. Good.
All right, let's broaden it out. Well, hold on, let's broaden it out, because this is traveling in European countries. So let's do this with United States, Canada, Mexico. Would you be cool with such a list? You know, like, listen, at the border, if you're Canadian, you want to come to the United States, you have to have had the COVID vaccine. And conversely, if you want to go to Mexico and you're from the United States, you have to be on the took the COVID vaccine list. I like that.
I would not have a problem. It's the same thing once we switched it around. It's the same thing. Hypothetically, I decided I don't want the vaccine. That's my right as a U.S. citizen. Well, as a Mexican country, as a Canadian country, we to get in the country, you need the vaccine. It's our country, our rules. I'm an American citizen. It's my rights not to have it. But my right not to have it. So in terms like that, it's fine. It's fine because everybody has stated where they want to be. There's no government, with the exception of the foreign governments on places you're going to. The U.S. government has not instituted that I have to have it, or I'm going to be put on a list.
Now, well, here's where the government will get involved. Here, and I'm telling you, it's going to happen, because it does happen. The government is going to say, I'm sure, when it comes to school, that the kids and the teachers have to have had the vaccine. And public schools are an arm of the government, but they already do that shit. You can't go to public school unless you have your measles vaccine.
Well, yeah, in that instance too. And it's also, you know, there'll be a lot of debate about it. I remember when I was in college, somebody in the school wound up getting, I forgot what affliction it was, but suddenly we all had to get shots, you know, and for that. And or I remember my mom pulling my records to see if I had this certain shot. You know, we didn't sit there and go, well, that's bullshit. I'm not going to school. Well, if I want to go back to, you know, if I need to go back to my classes, I either have to have proof of this or I have to get the damn shot. You make your, but at no point the government made, there was government interference.
Well, there is government.
You could say in the public school system,
yes.
Well, that's government too. But it's almost like their rules that they set up for that, you know. But it's your choice. You still have your choice.
No, you don't. You don't in public. No, you don't. You don't really have your choice because you have to go to school. Otherwise, you're truant. Now you could be homeschooled, but not
right. So you do have the option. You do.
That's not really realistic.
That choice is yours.
That
choice is yours. But still, you're given that choice whether you want this or not.
Listen, I think
I'll give an example. At the day program, they were offering flu shots. I was the last one to jump on board. I never had a flu shot. I didn't, you know, I never had one. I don't really like them. But I got a flu shot because just in case I got sick or whatever, I was willing to get one. Choice I made. I wasn't mandated to make that. Neither did the day program say, well, you can't come to work unless you have it. But it was a decision that I made. You know, without intrusion, I had my choice. If these said, well, you have to have one to go to work, you know, I would have to think about it. I mean, but I need to work, and it's a private entity, and they have their right as a private entity to make the decision. I have my right as a private citizen to make my decision whether they get that shot or not.
You know, what's funny, and then we'll move on unless Pip has something profound to add. What's funny is we
show.
What?
Never mind.
We saw like a lot of this with the mask, like the anti-maskers. Like, oh, how can you keep me out of there? You can't make me wear a mask. Yeah, you can. It's my place. I can do that. No shirts, no shoes, no service, no mask. You can do that. But so
yeah, and it's like, you know, and it's like when you mentioned going into the country, you can't go into a country without a passport. They require a passport. I mean, when we were on tour in Michigan, we had to turn the car because the GPS was taking us to Canada. I didn't have a passport. We had to go all the way back down to Ohio just for that simple fact. They're not going to let you in. Their country, their rules. And another 500 fucking miles that we didn't need to drive, but you know what you're going to do?
Anything, Pip, or shall we move on?
No, move on.
All right. We like to kick off the year with the Lake Superior State Banished Words. Always have fun with this. This list isn't really as much fun as a lot of other lists. This is kind of like the least fun list they've ever come up with. So what we do is we go through the list, we debate whether the word should be on there or not, and then we do a little creative writing assignment. Could be a song, could be a poem, could be a short story, using all the words. One last fuck you to lists. That's what it is. It's our way of saying, nay, nay, we shall use these words. So we will go through this. So this is Lake Superior State University's COVID-19 terminology monopolized submissions for LSSU's annual banished words list this year. Out of 14,550 plus nominations, upwards of 250 of the words and terms suggested for banishment were for overuse, misuse, or uselessness relate to the coronavirus. In fact, 7 of the 10 words and terms that LSSU is banishing from 2021 are about it. All right, so number one, COVID-19, COVID, coronavirus, Rona. They said a large number of the nominators are clearly resentful of the virus and how it has overtaken our vocabulary. No matter how necessary or socially and medically useful these words are, the committee cannot help but wish we could banish them along with the virus itself. Coincidentally, this list arrives as does a vaccine. The committee hopes this proves the type of double whammy. Yeah, you know what? It's fucking necessary. This isn't like an arbitrary word that we goof on and everything. I get it. We're all tired of it. But that's not the word's fault. It's the virus's fault. And getting rid of the word doesn't get rid of the virus. What are you going to say? Hey, Pip, you got the whatchamahoozy? Yeah, now I'm saying whatchamahoozy all the time.
The thing. You got the thing?
You got the thing. You got the thing. No, not that thing. The other thing.
I do think that there's going to be like a whole, group of people that, you know, when there's some kind of event that you find a lot of babies named after it, there's going to be a whole bunch of kids named Rona next year.
Rona, sure.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah, but
I go, great. You know, that's ironic. I named my other kid Malaria.
It is a small world.
Have you met gonorrhea and syphilis? Anyway, do you guys agree that these words should not be banished?
Yeah.
We have to use it. Yeah.
Next year.
Social distancing. This phrase is useful as wearing a mask, but in keeping your distance have a massive effect on preventing the spread of infection. But we'd be lying if we said we weren't ready for this phrase to become useless. With north of 50 nominations, many others clearly feel the same, and the tone of the reasoning ranged from impatient to heartfelt. Again, it's useful. I get it. It's kind of an annoying. Let's be honest. The phrase social distancing was annoying from the get-go. But that's the word we're with. So, you know, unless you're going to go cooties no backsies, you know, listen, we got a cooties no backsies over here. Unless you're going to do that, I guess social distancing works. So I'm not really ready to get rid of that either.
cooties no backsies is forever.
Cooties. So, I mean, yeah. Do you guys think we got to keep this?
Yeah.
For now.
We're all in this together. This phrase was likely intended as a way to keep everyone feeling safe and calm at the start of the pandemic. However, as the virus made its way across the globe and nation, it became clear that we are dealing with COVID-19 in different ways, and we confront some vastly different challenges in coping with it. As with many words that show up on the list, its usefulness has faded. Yeah, you know what? I could get word if we're all in this together, because we're not. We're really not.
No,
we're not.
This word. Out. I'm sick of hearing it. We're all in this together. Fuck you.
Well, that's why it's...
How are we in this together if we have to social distance?
Well, we're in it together but apart. I mean, listen, it would be nice if we were all in this together, but we're clearly not. It's clearly every man or every pod for himself. Yay, world. So we all agree on everything. That we are done with that one. In an abundance of caution... Yes, humanity needs to follow safeguards during COVID-19. The statistics are sobering. More than 342,000 deaths and more than 19 million confirmed deaths casing the U.S. and more than 1.8 million deaths and more than 82 million confirmed cases. And by the way, those numbers have gone up, obviously. But the phrasing about how to take preventive steps is vague. What is the standard measurement for caution metric or U.S. standard? In an abundance of caution. Yeah, it's a long way of saying be careful. I can get rid of it in abundance of caution.
Yeah, get rid of abundance of caution. Well, God Almighty, we have all this caution around. I don't know where to put this caution. I'm out of space.
You know what you need? You're going to need a storage space for your abundance of caution. You're going to need an abundance of storage.
That's right.
Yeah, we have a warehouse of caution. Of course, nobody is using it, so it's stacked up.
I got my under my
storage place. I need a 10x12. I have a lot of preventative things I need to store.
You know what I like to do? I actually have an abundance of caution tape that I put around the whole house, so everybody knows that there's a lot of caution in this house. Yeah. All right. We can get rid of in an abundance of caution. We're all simpatico so far. This is very rare. In these uncertain times, the committee agrees that COVID-19 has upended everyday life and wishes this weren't so. But putting things into imprecise context doesn't help matters. The blur dilutes reality and to some sounds like the beginning of a movie trailer. Yeah, I'll give you that. Keep as wide a berth of trite parlance as those who don't wear masks in public. What exactly does it mean for times to be uncertain? Look at the clock. Yeah, you know what? Every time is uncertain. Look no further than Tanya Roberts. She was alive, and then she was dead, and then she was alive, and now she's dead. Talking about uncertain times.
She is dead?
She's dead.
Who?
Tanya Roberts. Ever see that 70s show?
Yeah.
Midge.
Oh, that lady?
Yes, Pip, that lady.
What the hell did she die of?
An abundance of caution.
Oh my God!
Today she was alive, and I guess they said, "Well, we're embarrassed. We got to kill her off or something."
Yeah, she collapsed. I think she collapsed on Christmas Eve. She just collapsed. They don't know why. So she was 65, but I don't want to bring the bit down. Yeah, in these uncertain times, I don't need that. It sounds too highbrow. In these uncertain times, it's always uncertain. Stupid.
Yeah, I know. We get it.
Really.
I'm getting sick and tired of reminding it. It's almost like we're all in this together. So that gets shit canned.
All right. Pivot. Reporters, commenters, talking heads, and others from the media reference how everyone must adapt to the coronavirus through contactless delivery, virtual learning, curbside pickup, video conferencing, remote working, and other urgent readjustments. That's all true and vital. But basketball players pivot. Let's keep it that way. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? We're not fucking... No, I can't express myself, but which is a problem for a talk show.
That word's got to go. We have to pivot. Just say adapt. Just say monosyllable. We have to adapt to. You know, instead of pivot.
You know what? I'll break it down. I'll make it even easier. We have to change. Change. One syllable. Boom. You're in, you're out, you changed.
Yeah, it's like, why do we need a new word for something that we all do all the time?
Yeah, we're constantly pivoting. That's fucking life, bitches.
You know, by the way, you brought up Tanya Roberts and Lisa in the chat.
From the dead again?
No, Lisa in the chat said Kenny from South Park.
Oh, my God, you killed Tanya. You bastards! Very good,
exactly.
Lisa.
It's too good not to talk about.
Very good. Very
oh,
good.
Hell. Frozen again?
No.
Her gravestone's going to be written in pencil.
Just see white out. Just see white out on a gravestone. Pipple.
Jesus came back once, and they say he's coming again. Hell, you've been back four times already.
Let's be honest. Pip will be excited when Tanya Roberts gets her last starring credit in Walking Dead. Pip will be like fucking thrilled.
I would be.
All right. Number 7 on the list. Unprecedented. It's unheard of that a word would be repeated on the banished words list. Actually, it's not. In the early years, words wound up repeated, although we try to avoid repetition nowadays. Despite the fact that unprecedented was banished in 2002, given that it was nominated many times this year for misuse in describing events that do not have precedent, inclusion again seems warranted. You know what? I like unprecedented because it's a good word for this shit hasn't happened before.
Right. I totally agree because, I mean, this is unprecedented. Yeah. Since March, we don't know whether to shit or wind our watch. Yeah. A lot of stuff is going on. You don't bother wearing a mask. You got to wear a mask. Blah, 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 you know. So, yeah, everything is changing. Everything is changing on a weekly basis. Absolutely. That word stays.
Even in politics. In politics, we've seen things that have never happened in our history before. It's unprecedented. Yeah, because it hasn't happened before. It would be precedented if it happened once before. But if it's never happened before, it's unprecedented.
I would like to be unprecedented and then re-presidented in January 20th. Oh, that's not what it means?
So we all like this word?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I think this is the first time through the first seven we're all in agreement here. Look at this.
There's got to be
a different year.
This is unprecedented.
There's got to be a bloodbath sin.
No, it's unprecedented. Oh, you know what? This next one might be one. Karen, what began as an anti-racist critique of the behavior of white women in response to black and brown people has become a misogynist umbrella term for critiquing the perceived overly emotional behavior of women. As one nominator said about reasons for its banishment, I would tell you why, but I'd sound like a Karen. Another critic observed, offensive to all normal people named Karen. This is going to be a toss-up. You know what? We all know what somebody's talking about with Karen. But you know what? Little bitch works out just as well. Somebody's being a little bitch is just as good as Karen. I got to tell you, this might be where we disagree. I can get rid of Karen. Enough with fucking Karen already.
You know what? Yeah, I've had it with the word. However, I can relate because I dated somebody, Karen, who everything had to be her way. She was amazing and all this other stuff. So, yeah, but I could lose the word, but I do have a kinship to the word.
I think that it's unfortunate for women named Karen, but I think it's useful shorthand for the kind of person that has to be the one that's going, you know, I disagree, and I think that it has to be my way, and I think it's a useful shorthand. It's kind of like Debbie Downer. Everybody knows who that
means. Yeah, but
here's
the problem. You know? Not everybody knows it. It's not really an inclusive word where you can look at where everybody goes, oh, you should know what Karen is. It's a pop culture thing. Like I said, everybody knows what a little bitch is. Or a complainer. Oh, Pip's a complainer. Or she's a little bitch. Pip's a Karen. I thought she was a Pip. Well, no, actually, that's not her name either. But she's not a Karen.
Yeah, but still, I bring up instances where I would go over to her house, drive 45 minutes, and I'm there for 10 minutes, and she goes, I'm going to read a book now, you can go home. Oh yeah, I'll just drive 45 minutes back home. Or when I would have to sit on the floor and sit there and listen to Bruce Springsteen while I'm sitting on the floor, isn't this wonderful? No, it's torture. Can we sit on the fucking couch? If I got to listen to this shit music, can I be comfortable?
How are you not getting a blowjob out of all this?
Huh?
How are you not getting blown during any of this? You're driving, you're listening to story time, you're listening to music. How is a blowjob or at least a hand job not happening? I don't understand.
Must have happened at some point or he wouldn't have stayed.
No, I mean, he did stay. You know what? She was being a real Karen when Joe brought up a blowjob. So Pip,
well,
are you
important to me? I won a contest. I wound up getting a limo for a night in the city. She made sure she fucked that all up on the way home. Oh, God almighty, I'm getting pissed off. This shit's over 30 years old.
What were you going to say, Pip?
I was just going to say that Lisa said that the reason that Karen is good is because selfish asshole is too much to say.
Yeah, but
syllables, yeah.
But everybody knows what a selfish asshole is. Not everybody knows right. What a Karen is. So, Pip, are you breaking the streak?
Say again.
Are you breaking our streak where we all agree?
Yeah, because I think that it is a useful term.
You know what, Joe? She's being a real fucking Karen about it. I'll tell you that much.
I want to speak to the show manager.
You are.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I would stop now out of an abundance of caution. Anyway, number 9 on the list, sus. It's shorthanded version for suspicious in the video game Among Us. No committee members play, but our children who do explain that this multiplayer online social game is designed around identifying sus imposters so they can be thrown into the lava. Complainers A ask, how much effort does it take to say the entire word? And B request, if that can't happen, confine the syllable to the gaming world. You know what? I've never heard this term, so I can't ban it. It has no effect on my life because I'm old.
Yeah, I think the term stinks and should have get a boot in the ass.
All right.
I've never heard it.
Shut up. You need a shovel on your head.
All right.
I've never heard of it before.
Me neither, but Joe's crotchety because it's new. You know how Joe gets.
I'm a musician. What sus means to me is a chord.
That's right. Yes, and that's useful.
And the final...
sus is very useful in ballads.
The final phrase... I know, right? An amusing phrase flooding social media, I know, right, is a relatively new construction to convey empathy with those who've expressed agreement. But as one wordsmith put it, if you know, why do you need to ask if it's correct or seek further approval? Another grammarian suggested that the desire for confirmation connotes insecurity. In other words, it's reiterating something everybody already seconded. All right. So that you know what? I can get rid of I know right. I don't need insecure. I don't know insecure phrases hanging. I hate the I know writers. You know, it's too much. If you either you know or you don't know. Don't fucking ask me.
I don't see it that way though. I think that it's just sort of a bonding phrase.
Nah. Yeah, we're not bonding. We're not bonding and being a kiss ass.
No, there are certain there are levels of communication, emphatic communication, that's the actual word for it, where someone says, hi, how are you? They're not really asking how you are. This is just like a opener for conversation, and it's sort of a social convention. And I think that, I mean, we used to say, right? Just right. I mean, at least East Coasters did that all the time. And so it's a social lubricant. It's a phrase that bonds us together. It's like, uh-huh, or, you know, just saying, right?
Let me just, hold on, let me stop you right now. If you ever say social lubricant again, I guarantee you for the rest of our lives we will be social distancing. I can promise you. Never say that again. Social lubricant. Ugh.
I think the term should stay. You know, because it's like we've been so beaten down. It's like you commiserate. It's like, Jesus Christ, I wish I could go to like that club that I liked. Yeah, I know, right? Well, this thing, you know, so I think it should stay.
Can't you just say yeah? Can't you just say yeah?
No, because we're beaten down.
Then if you're beaten down, then yeah's the shortest way to get there. I know, right? You're being way too ambitious.
I don't know. I think that I know right still has its use.
All these things have a use, but can we have better? Can we get better? Are there better ways to get there?
You know where I could say I know right now is I play in two bands, and both band leaders know I do a show Tuesday nights for 11 fucking years, and they're both texting me right now. Can you talk? No, I do a fucking show every Tuesday. From 6:30 to 9:30, I can't talk.
Well, Joe.
I can't talk. Yeah, unless you want to sound like one of the Brady kids going through puberty.
our own Peter Brady. All right. So we ended up disagreeing. So like what we like to do is we like to give these words a fond farewell, as I said. We try to get the creative juices flowing, and we will start with our own Karen, our own Miss Piggy, our own animal, Pip Helix. Pip, take it away using all these words and a fond farewell.
Okay, Brittany, the party last night was unprecedented. My mom is all, like, worried about social distancing, you know, because of COVID-19. You know, she's all, like, in an abundance of caution. You know, you should wear your mask in the car. Oh, I know, right? Well, my friends and I just pivot to we're all in this together and have a party. So Taylor and Mike were bringing this beer in, and they were acting all sus. And I'm like, my neighbor is such a Karen, we're all going to get caught. But it was okay, because in these uncertain times, anyone could be a narc, right? But the party was lit. That's mine.
Very cool, Pip. I when you read that, I thought you were 15 all over again. It was you.
Thank you. It's that and the cream I've been using.
Yeah, well, that we call that jizz, dear. Anyway, all right, Joe, what you got?
With COVID-19 social distancing, we are all in this together. It looks sus to me in all these uncertain times that we have to pivot our lives to these unprecedented times. And if you or anybody says I know right, you look like a Karen.
All right. So, I went with a theme. In honor of Joe's claim last week that I'm obsessed with Trump, I'm going to make this story all about Trump. Because I feel like, you know...
Of course you are. Why wouldn't you?
Of course I am.
You're just proving his point now, you know.
No. This irritates him, so that makes me happy. All right, here we go.
Oh, okay. So...
Donald Trump will going forward be known as Karen Trump. Karen Trump's lack of response to COVID-19 was a big part of her losing the election. In her defense, Karen has never been one for social distancing or even personal space. She would grab someone by the pussy and call her friend Jeffrey Epstein over and tell the woman, shh, we're all in this together. Karen... Karen was weighed and measured, and the people said no thank you. Still, Karen is sus that the election was stolen as part of the deep state plot. Karen Trump increasingly surrounds herself with an echo chamber where she belly aches, and she was a victim of a plot, and her clucking hens nod their chicken heads and cluck, I know, right? This level of whining and denial is unprecedented for an American commander-in-chief, but is really par for the course for Karen. But fear not! Soon enough, Karen will pivot from whiner-in-chief to her first love, golfer in the sand trap. In these uncertain times, we can still count on Karen to lose and whine like a bitch. And if Joe is smart, next time he considers calling me obsessed with something, he will use an abundance of caution before voicing that opinion, for now he knows I will use something that fuels Karen Trump and all of us, spite.
Oh my God!
Look at Joey.
That story needed an intermission. It was so long.
No, it wasn't. It was a paragraph.
No, he always does a longer version of this list than me. Don't you remember?
Yeah, I've done songs. I've done poems. It was hard to do a song or a poem for this year's version because there were so many phrases.
Yes. Yeah, and long ones.
Yeah, so, I mean, and they were all themed. So a story was the natural way to go with it. You know, that's, Joe's just being bitter because I trumped it. That's all right. Joe's being a Karen about it. That's fine. I expected nothing else.
Well, I'll have you know that the ladies in the chat think I won that particular battle, so.
I didn't know it was a competition, but okay. Okay. All right, Pip with two eyes.
That would be my homage to our Lisa.
Yes.
Our first Lisa.
We don't have first and second Lisas. They're all equal Lisas. They all get participation trophies. All right.
Well, there's Lisa the Cyclops and there's Lisa 2i.
Okay. Are you done?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. We're going to do some drunks in the news. The story we did not do last week.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, here we go. This time's Benjamin Franklin drinking term, synonym for being drunk or shit-faced, owes no man a farthing.
What?
You heard me.
Owes
no man a farthing.
Like, money. Okay.
That's what that is?
Owes no man a farthing. I don't understand it, but okay.
Why would you? He's above you. He's a founding father, stupid. He's working on levels you can't understand.
Founding father, stupid.
Sure. He don't have time to explain shit. Either you know what a farthing is or you don't. He don't got time for you. Unless you're going to blow him because he's that type of founding father. He don't give a shit what you understand. Now go play in an electrical storm.
I'm not going to blow him. He's loaded with the syphilis.
Yeah, it's all right. It would do you good. All right. So, yeah, that's not one of my favorites. It seems a little wordy when somebody's drunk.
No, I like the phrase. I'm trying to understand how they came to that to mean drunk, but owes no man a farthing. Okay, I like it.
All right.
Oh, God, the chat room is tormenting me about pickle juice shots.
That was fun.
Delicious.
Yeah, well, listen, Pip had the option of having a delicious treat, but she opted to go disgusting. Her choice, her consequences. All right. Let's see. So authorities say they've busted a large illegal winery operating out of wastewater treatment plant in a small Alabama town. It happened in the town of Rainesville, not to be confused with Shittsville, home to around 5,000 people and 100 miles northeast of Birmingham. After receiving an anonymous tip Thursday about a possible illegal wine production operation being run inside a municipal building, law enforcement arrived at the Rainesville wastewater treatment plant to find a large amount of illegal alcohol, other equipment used to make wine at home, the DeKalb County Sheriff's Office said. This is definitely one of the biggest operations we've seen in our country and possibly our state, says Sheriff Nick Weldon, At-home wine production is legal in Alabama as long as the quantity produced is kept under 5 gallons per year per family, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. Photos included in a sheriff's office news release shows multiple cases of wine that appear to be larger than 5 gallons each. Rainesville Mayor Roger Lingerfelt later arrived at the scene to allow agents and investigators to proceed in search of the building. I want to thank the mayor for his cooperation and willingness to allow law enforcement to do our job and shut something like this down. He's a mayor. He's supposed to, stupid. And big thanks to the public and their tips against all illegal activities. They're a bunch of do-gooders, thank goodness. Bunch of fucking, but keep your mouth shut, stupid. We're making wastewater wine over here. Why you got a fucking blab? Once again, it doesn't matter who you are, no one is above the law, especially when you want to get shit-faced with some shit water. We won't tolerate anyone using their position to hide their illegal actions at the taxpayer's expense. Sheriff's official said the investigation is ongoing and expect to file charges. So there you go. I, for one, I'm not a wine drinker, but if I was, I do not think wine out of a sewage plant would be on my list of things I'd like to try.
Yeah, neither have I. Made from the finest effluent water. No. No, thank you.
Listen, if I was in jail and somebody was somebody was offering me like toilet wine, I'm probably fucking drinking that. But wastewater treatment plant wine? Do they not have liquor stores where you come from? What the hell?
Yeah, you know what? There's something to be said for toilet wine in jail because your options are very limited. And you know what?
Yes.
You probably want to get drunk before you get that raping that you're going to get in the shower. So, yeah, I understand that. But, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Buy a box of wine. Buy some MD-2020 or some fucking Thunderbird. I don't need your wastewater wine. Oh, this wine. What is it? It tastes like shit. Yeah, it's because there's shit water around.
Even just if it's delicious, the fact that they chose this disgusting place to make it, and I hope they called it wastewater wine.
They don't.
Because
that would not be good for marketing, dear.
I know. You know what? I think it would be hilarious. There would be some people that would buy it just because the irony is funny. But it's not conducive to, like, does this pair with cheese? No. And this is from a woman who just guzzled pickle juice. Not touching that.
It pairs with Fremunda cheese.
Yes, it would.
Joe, you're the alcoholic. What say you?
I'm sorry?
I said you're the alcoholic. What say you?
No, I don't want my wine made from the finest brackish water. No, I will not drink it from a sewage plant.
I won't drink it from the sewage pump.
Though, I bet hipsters would love this shit. You know?
Should have you package
it,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
You put like the little turd emoji on the bottle? You could work with a little turd emoji sipping some wine.
Yeah. Tommy the turd. He's the connoisseur of sewage wine.
I won't drink it from the sewage pump. I won't take it from the back of your rump. I won't take it because you made it in the dump. I won't take it because you made it from brown clumps.
A little turd with a monocle because that kind of looks classy.
Sure.
If it's on a piece of shit, you can still pull that off.
You know what? Everybody likes a highfalutin turd.
Yeah, the emoji that looks like this would be the little poop emoji thinking about it.
My word, what an eloquent bouquet. It matches very well.
Is it a red or a white? No, it's a brown, stupid. We made it with wastewater. What's wrong with you?
It's a brown. It's a lovely brown, yes.
You know what?
You said that it's what you get when the person crushing the grapes didn't wash their feet.
Ew. You know what, though? To be honest, I like a gritty wine. I think that's nice. Oh, my. Is that a hint of corn I taste in the Merlot? Why, yes, it was.
A fine bouquet.
Yes, a fine bouquet. Yeah, you don't have to put it to your nose. Trust me, hold it as far away as possible. You'll get the waft.
Yeah, you can smell it walking into the liquor store.
did you see a moonlit night and there's two skunks and it's like, I've got something very special tonight.
This is skunk gate wine.
Skunk gate.
Yeah, right. Oh, this stinks. Yes, I know. It's a fine boot.
I think I read somewhere like it was a blueberry wine, but I might be incorrect with that.
You know what, though? Yeah, usually you have the wine steward. You have the wine steward.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you,
it's definitely going to be corn wine.
Yes. There's
the hint of corn. He just did before, so I'm repeating the bit. I know you got credit on that one.
Is this peanuts?
No, it's penis, dear. Gobble, gobble. fuck it. I'm not going to even do the joke now. You guys kept on stepping on it, so now we'll just have to go on. But I was going to use a word we've never used on this show before, and now it's gone. So
what?
No, it's gone now. It's gone. I don't want to. I'm not going to. I'm just going to drink some toilet wine on the break and lick my wounds. That's what I'm going to do. All right. Let's take our final break. On the break, we got new music from DJ Nicholas, DJ Combo, and Sander 7 with Shake It. And Copa More featuring So Smooth with Stand Together. And you can learn more about both those artists at khb-music.de. It's going to be a short break. We come back, we'll do some of the old Scamming the Scammers. We'll do some of that. So don't you go nowhere.